Open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, as we look at this, take a few weeks look at this this book in the middle of the times of the judges, a scene far different than most of those that we see in the period of judges when every man did what was right in his own sight because there was no king in Israel. And the scenes here are a lot better scenes. We come to a very wonderful scene tonight as we meet as we see Ruth and Boaz meeting. Let's pray and then we'll look at this chapter. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your favor to us. Oh Father, we thank you that seeking you, we have found you faithful. And Lord God, you have blessed us beyond all measure. And even we ourselves might ask, why have we found favor in your sight? We thank you, Lord. We know it is not on account of anything in us. It is all in you. Your large heart and your kind purposes toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that favor. We thank you that we can continue to live in your favor and even as Ruth anticipate even further favor. Lord, you are a great God. And we thank you for these pictures that we have in the life of Israel in the Old Testament where we see your faithfulness to people, through instruments even that you choose, and as you carry out your good pleasure and accomplish all your great redemptive ends, even through the providences, the common providences of our own lives. Father, we thank you for this. I pray that you'll help me to set it forth and open it up for our own encouragement in faith. Lord, as we see you continuing to work in all things, we thank you that you are such a God who is full of loving kindness and mercy to us. Oh, Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for this opportunity to gather this night to sing your praises and to hear your word and then to come together in corporate prayer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read a few verses of this chapter, not the entire chapter, and then we'll go through its parts as we go through. Chapter 2. In fact, I'll just start with chapter 1 and verse 22. So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess and her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. As I said, this particular account is one in which we, seeking and finding favor. In fact, we find Ruth gleaning in the fields of favor under the kindness of God and really the kindness of Boaz. You may remember last Lord's Day that Ruth was a Moabitess. She was joined to the family of Naomi by marriage to one of Naomi's sons who had left the land of Israel because of a famine, even in the house of bread. But they have returned. They have returned back to Bethlehem, just Ruth and Naomi. And Elimelech, her husband, has died, and so has her sons. Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, has returned back to her family in Moab. But Ruth, in a commitment, in a very radical commitment of faith, in the words in which we find in verse 16 and 17, has determined that she will return with Naomi to care for her, even if it means perpetual widowhood. It is an act, a particular act of kindness that she shows. And it is fulfilling that kindness and carrying it out in chapter 2 that she finds kindness as well from the hand of God and from the hand of Boaz. And so I want us to look at this account. This is really an account of just one day. Just one day of gleaning in the fields of favor. It will lead to other days of favor, but this is just a one-day account. Ruth is gleaning in the fields of Boaz, where she finds an unusual favor. You may remember that the compassionate Lord of Israel had determined that there would be provision for the poor, for the fatherless, and for the widows in the land of Israel by a provision that he had made for the poor, and that is that when people would harvest their crops and their fields, that they would not go to the extreme corners of those fields. They could glean them carefully, they could glean them fully, or they could harvest them fully, but they would not necessarily take all around the corners and edges, leaving it for those in need. In Leviticus 9:9-10, we read these words, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." It is a wonderful provision. Deuteronomy 24, the Lord tells the people that if they forgot a sheaf in the field, don't go back and get it. Leave it for those, it says, leave it for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow. And so it is taking advantage of this provision that God has made for the poor, for the fatherless, that God, we see this particular scene. Now, I want to open it up, and I'm just going to open it up in terms of that idea of finding favor. Finding favor for her. That is the very way in which this chapter opens. It really opens in chapter 2 in verse 2, but in chapter 2 in verse 1, we just have this little note. This little note that lets us know something about what may take place, and we find it near the end. Now, Naomi had a kinsman, a goel, a family close member, a close member of the family who had certain responsibilities to family, certain responsibilities with regard to those families who found their property themselves dispossessed of property or even dispossessed of their own freedom, a kinsman who had responsibilities to redeem or possibly buy back the family and the property. And we're just told this as kind of a note in the very beginning of chapter 2. Had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. The word of great wealth is actually, we could translate it, a man of valor. And wealth would indicate, in fact, some say a man of power. Because he had wealth, and that's the way my version translated, a man of great wealth, because people with wealth had power. They had authority. But probably it denotes also something else, that he was an excellent man, influence and integrity. In other words, a man who was matched in character, just like Ruth. And we're going to see the very character of that man as we go through here. But chapter 2 and verse 2 is really where the whole account begins. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." She goes out to seek favor. How soon this was after they arrived in Jerusalem, we don't know. But most likely it was very soon. They were needy. And so therefore probably she takes the initiative very soon to go out into those fields wanting to find favor. Notice that in verse 2, "in whose sight I may find favor." Verse 10, here comes the theme as she speaks to Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your sight?" Verse 13, "I have found favor in your sight." She finds favor in this text. What she seeks, she finds. And I want us to note as we go through here the very nature of this. First of all, just looking at verses 1 through 3 as we open up this chapter, how did she come to the fields of favor? In other words, how did she find that favor? What is the source of favor? And I'm just going to say just very easily at the outset, the source of favor was her own initiative and God's grace. He is the source of favor. Notice how this takes place. She was the one who took the initiative here. We'll see Naomi taking initiative in chapter 3, but here it is Ruth who takes the initiative for her mother-in-law. "Please let me go into the field and glean." And so Naomi says to her, "Go." Verse 2. "So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers." It is a hard work to do that. It's basically kind of subsistence labor. It was subsistence living. It'd be like nowadays, as we see often in our culture, people going through trash bins and garbage containers trying to find aluminum cans. It's that kind of gleaning. It's that kind of small work for small or major work for small gains. And that's simply what she was going to do, to go out and find some kind of field where she could get some kind of gain. Not very much. It's a very humble labor. It's one that was going to require a lot of labor, and it's one that's not going to give very much return. So she went, and we're told that she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And then here's this wonderful word that we have in verse 3. She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Literally, she chanced to chance upon. The word in the Hebrew speaks of fortune. It was her fortune. We might render it by luck. She comes upon the field belonging to Boaz. And you would say, well, what's so lucky about that? Well, in that time of day, in that season of time, fields were not marked out by fences and property lines. They were basically common ground that surrounded a city, and they were basically marked off sometimes just by stones on their corners. So you would not know necessarily whose field you were gleaning in when you went to it. It wasn't marked out Boaz's field. It wasn't even marked out on a specific territory. You would go into the place where you would see reapers, and you would go into the and begin to glean after them. And there would be no notification about whose field you would happen to be in. It says she happened upon, by as luck would have it, is really kind of the whole idea. So there she is. She goes out to do this little work, and she goes into this little field, into this really what one said is a jumbled patchwork of subdivided property. And the property that she happens to come to is the property of this one who is noted at the very beginning of the chapter, the property of Boaz. In other words, we have, much like the book of Esther, we have God unnamed here, but the hand of God very evident. God directing her to the fields of favor. It is a wonderful thing. Let me just say this. Basically, mercies and favors are no accident. Every kindness that comes to us, every favor that comes to us, every field of prosperity that we happen to stumble upon, is all by the mercy and grace of God. Our labors, in fact, it's a wonderful thing to think about that our labors are under the superintendence of God. She comes upon that portion that belongs to Boaz. And this entire account is really the outworking of the favor of God. She will go out empty this morning on this occasion. And as we shall see, she will come back very full that day. And all of that is due to the kindness of God directing her to the good field of labor. And that's a wonderful thing. There are no accidental favors. The mind of man plans his way, but it is the Lord who directs our steps. Listen to Bishop Hall, and as he speaks about this little aspect of it in Ruth. Little do we know, he says, when we go forth in the morning, what God means to do with us when the night comes. How many of our days are anticipated? In many ways, we do not know what will come about. There is a providence that attends to us in all our ways and guides us insensibly to his own ends. That divine hand leads Ruth blindfolded to the field of Boaz. She had intentions, she had purposes, she knew what she was going to do, but it was God who directed her to that field of labor. That she meets with his reapers, falls upon his land, among all the fields of Bethlehem, was no praise to her choice, but the gracious disposition of him in whom we move and live and have our being. His thoughts are above ours, and do so order our actions, as we, if we had known, should have wished. God is wise. God is kind in all of this. And there's a certain encouragement for us. In the midst of all that we go out to do, As we live under the favor of God, to even anticipate his mercies and his kindnesses in the midst of what we do, what kind of fields will he lead us to? And he is the one who is kind in all his ways. He who makes the Lord his portion will find a blessing in all his portions. And that is what Ruth is about to find out. It was a kindness that brought her to the field of labors. And then so, as we look at that, we understand at the very beginning the source of all the favor that will come to her. And in fact, we are reminded of it as we go to the very next section. And that's verses four through nine. And in this one, we see the instrument of favor, which God often uses. God often uses others to extend favor and help to us. And this is a very wonderful one. Notice, it is as if the divine narrator, even though he has said it is by luck that she came into the field of Boaz, now reminds us, even with the verbal greeting that is exchanged between Boaz and his workers, who really is in charge here. Verse 4, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers," and this is a wonderful account. This introduces us to the very character of the man who will show favor to Ruth. It is the very character of Boaz himself. This whole labor is one that is overseen by a very sweet proprietor. It is a sweet providence that she should come into his field, and it is a sweet providence that such a man as Boaz is the one who owns it. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." This is a different greeting. This is not a common greeting. This is not shalom. This is not peace to you. That is maybe the common hello, welcome, have a good day. This is a very unique greeting. This is a greeting that gives the benediction to them of the encouragement of the Lord's presence. May the Lord be with you. What a wonderful, wouldn't it be wonderful if your employer walked into your office and to your little cubicle, wherever you were, and happened to say, "The Lord bless you." And not only that, but "The Lord be with you." Here is acknowledging the Lord, the Lord's presence, bringing their mind to it. What a wonderful man. And notice as well the relationship between him and the workers. They return the benediction, "May the Lord bless you." There appears to be a wonderful relationship between this man and his laborers. And it seems that his words and his presence are a very refreshment to them, even in the task. He appears to be a man who is devoted to the Lord, a man who is mindful of the Lord and even of his own employees. But notice verse 5. He's a man of particular kindness as well. "Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?'" Who does she belong to? That's the idea. Whose is she? He knows his workers, but he doesn't recognize this one. Who does she belong to? And some might say, well, maybe he had an eye for women. Well, he had an eye for those who would work in his field. There is nothing in the way in which a woman would dress while gleaning a field that would call anything at all attention to her in any kind of physical way. Not necessarily. So this was something indeed that he himself was noticing those who worked in the field, and he happened to notice her. And the humblest labor, it's very interesting at least, that he is one who looks and is concerned about and begins to ask. And under the providence of God, the servant himself is very aware of who she is. And he informs Boaz in verse 6, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while." It's interesting, the very request that she makes, one commentator says, is a very, in one sense, a very radical request. Notice what she says, "Let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." There was no way often that a gleaner could glean among the sheaves, in between the sheaves, but it would have to be on the outside perimeters of the field. She asked to be able to go into the midst of the field and go after all of the gatherers have gone and be in the midst of that which is taking place. It's a rather unusual request. It's rather bold. But it's one indeed in which probably she makes in order that she might find out if she does have favor. And now it appears that she has made the request, and the very servant who speaks to Boaz himself has not given her answer. And she's waiting for an answer. Well, the answer is given to her by this man, and indeed a man of great generosity and kindness, verse 8.
Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Further, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them." He encourages her to stay in his field. In a certain sense, he takes her up, and he allows her to come within his gleaning group, in a sense. She's allowed to come right after the reapers and go in ahead of the other gleaners. He gives her a relative priority with his own maids. In fact, he also extends another kindness to her. Notice, "When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." It's like being invited to the owner's water cooler as well. Because it would be one of the challenges of working out in the fields is that you would have to leave the field from time to time to go get water, and you would have to leave the field and go to some well and draw. And evidently there's a provision made for her that she doesn't have to go far to gather water. There's some kindness being shown, some very unique kindness being shown to a foreigner, a Moabitess, by Boaz. He doesn't appear in any way himself to be disposed against foreigners. He appears to be one who is willing to extend the kindness indeed which the Lord has commanded the owners of fields. In fact, not only that, but he extends protection to her. He gives her a favored gleaner status, and he says, "I have commanded the servants not to touch you." And so there is protection here. He undertakes to protect and guard her. And so it's a very wonderful word that he gives to her, and it's a word in which, as she acknowledges in verse 13, a word in which he has comforted her, and a word in which he has spoken very kindly and graciously to her. Sometimes this is the way in which God works. He works providentially, not accidentally, directing us to those fields and places of labor, those places of favor, and then he grants his favor often through human instruments. Already we see God in working through Boaz. Now, what is the reason for favor? What is the reason for the favor? Because Ruth is immediately overwhelmed. And so we come to the reason for favor and the question that she asks that oftentimes we do not ask when we ourselves are favored. We always ask the question, why, when we're in trouble? Why am I in trouble? But do we ever ask, like she does, why in the world am I enjoying favor? And that's what she does. Verse 10, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Why have you singled me out of all the gleaners? Why have you given me more than a passing glance, a foreigner entitled to no privilege, and you have noticed the unnoticeable?" And this sounds like another. This sounds like her great-grandson, David. "Who am I, O Lord God," as God himself promises to give him a royal reign and dynasty. "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" She is astonished at favor. May we never, ever get complacent with our favors and the mercies that God shows. She herself is grateful. A foreigner, one who is entitled in one sense not to special privilege. Indeed, as a foreigner, she could glean in the fields. But it appears that he himself has taken notice. And notice, indeed, the answer that Boaz gives to her. Verse 11, All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of her husband has been fully reported to me. Why am I favored? Boaz, the instrument of favor, says, because you have been faithful to another. You have shown kindness to someone else. It's an interesting perspective here. You have done all that has been done for your mother-in-law after the death of her husband is fully reported to me, and how you left. I have heard of the sacrifices that you have made for your mother-in-law. You left your mother and your father and the land of your birth, and you came to a people that you did not previously know. I see the sacrifices that you had made. Now notice what he does. And then he pronounces, as it were, a prayer for her. This is the second prayer that we hear for Ruth in this book. In chapter 1 and verse 8, Naomi pronounced it as she was leaving to go back from Moab to Bethlehem. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The whole theme again of kindness being requited by the Lord. And here it is, here's another prayer by Boaz, similar to the one of Naomi. And Naomi asked not only that may the Lord deal kindly with you, but that may he grant you to find rest in the house of your husband. May you find a home. May you find stability and security with a husband. And now here comes that one whom we know eventually will be her husband, asking God again to reward your work and may your wages be full. May you get the recompense of your kindness from God. The Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Ruth, I am mindful of your kindness, your faithfulness, and I am mindful of your faith. And he seeks indeed that it is because of her faithfulness that she has found favor from Boaz. And it is on account of that faithfulness and account of that faith that Boaz herself seeks her further blessing from the source of blessing, the Lord himself. I know what you've given up. I know the costs. I know the Lord in whom you've embraced, and so he seeks her further favor from the hand of the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful mercy. Indeed, she herself has been directed into the field of favor by the sovereignty of God. She has found an instrument of favor in the person of Boaz, and now she has found really the reason for that favor is her own faithfulness and kindness to someone in need. Now notice verses 14 through 16, the extension of favor. This is an amazing account here because it appears, and sometimes it might have been just a few moments or maybe a few hours after that conversation. At mealtime, Boaz said to her at the break time, at the lunch break maybe, or maybe the midday break, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he, that is Boaz, served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. What does that sound like? Filled up, full, satisfied with leftovers. Who does that? Christ does that. Boaz is a picture. Picture of a redeemer. Picture of one through whom the favor of God comes to his people. Come and eat with me. Now this is an amazing thing. Here, it's like you're the temp help for the day. You don't know whether you're going to work another day or not, but you're the temp help for the day. Here comes the president of the company. He not only gives you access to the water cooler, but he says, come into the lunchroom and eat with my fellow employees. And not only that, I will give you from my own lunchbox. That's really what's taking place. It's an incredible favor that she's finding. And it's one that will fill her up, leave her satisfied with leftovers. I mean, already in many of this, there is the picture of our great kinsman redeemer, the one who has cared for our souls, redeemed and bought us, through whom the favor of God comes to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is already. And notice the favor that begins to be poured out upon her. This is amazing. He himself undertakes in some measure to be the answer to the very petition of God that he himself offered. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, this is verse 15, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not insult her. Let her get right next to the sheaves. Let her get right next to that which has all been gathered up and placed in a pile for later gathering. Let her get into the midst of all of that. And then notice, he goes even further, verse 16. I mean, this is incredible. And also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. I mean, this is kind of an amazing thing. Here you are looking at those sheaves, finding that you can be in the midst of them with all of the surplus there. And then as you're going along, you're seeing that some of those gatherers, as they gather stuff, are just purposefully dropping things in your path. I mean, that is what he ordains. That's what he orders for her. She is finding the abundance of God's favor, even through that instrument of favor, who has already given her unusual privilege. How encouraged must she have been? I mean, oftentimes, isn't it so? Isn't it so that often as we live, God himself is bestowing favor after favor upon us? Isn't it indeed that he pulls out from all of the things of the world and he continues to supply our needs richly according to Christ, his riches in Christ? Here it is again. As she's finding all of that favor. How blessed is that woman? Well, finally, we come to the end of this chapter. And it's the return. It's the end of the day. Naomi has been left back wondering what indeed has she found favor? Has she found favor? Verse 17 through the end of the chapter. So she gleaned in the field until evening. And then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That is about 5.5 gallons of barley. That is about 29 pounds of barley that day. The normal amount for a barley per day would be 1 to 2 pounds. She received enough for 2 weeks in one day. I mean, it was a massive provision. She herself has found favor. She works, she gets it, and then she gets it and she takes it up, as we're told in verse 18, and she goes back into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Naomi doesn't even have to ask, did you find favor? She comes laden with it as she comes back into the house, laden with that favor. But she didn't give her the grain at that time. No, she took out and gave Naomi what she had left out from the lunch meal. She fed her the parched grain. She fed her with the leftovers of what Boaz himself had provided for her. And indeed, while Naomi looks at the bundle of grain, the 29 pounds plus that are sitting there in the house that will feed them for at least 2 weeks, as she tastes of the parched, cooked grain, a prepared meal already, now she finally is able to ask the question, where in the world did you get this? Where in the world were you? Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Verse 19. May he who took notice of you be blessed. And now the whole disposition, it's wonderful, the disposition of Naomi at the end of this chapter is changing. Naomi was critical and bitter. And now for the first time we see her who is pleasant and lovely, now pronouncing a blessing upon one whom she doesn't know yet, but whose favor she knows she is being a recipient of, even as Ruth has brought all of this home. And then how amazed must she be when Ruth says, the name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz. Verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord, second blessing, who has not withdrawn his hesed, his kindness, his compassion to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives. She herself, already what is beginning to take place now is that with the return of favor also is the return of joy, the return of hope to Naomi. In other words, her hope is beginning to be restored as she finds favor coming to Ruth. And Ruth said, it's interesting again, Ruth the Moabitess said, verse 21, furthermore, he said to me, stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. All my harvest, not the barley harvest, but the wheat harvest as well. Stay with me for 7 weeks. That's the whole idea. In other words, the whole anticipation now is that we who are destitute, we who are dependent, now you have found favor with one of our closest relatives, a favor that indeed will mean that we ourselves will enjoy sustenance, an amazing sustenance and supply for quite some time. We will not be destitute. You stay close to him, Naomi says. It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. I mean, it's an amazing picture of the faithfulness and the kindness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. We go out seeking favor, we find favor, but here is one who herself has bestowed kindness, compassion, favor to others, and Boaz has basically set it out as a principle in a certain sense that God will recompense those who show kindness, those who show compassion. And indeed, he says, I'm praying for the full reward. Is this the full reward? That's the question we ask at the end of this chapter. Is that it? Is that the full favor that she is going to receive for her kindness to Naomi? Is it basically a bunch of grain for several weeks? There'll be more. And indeed, the full recompense of the kindness and grace of God is going to break open upon her heads. God is able to make all grace abound to us, dear people, that always having everything that we need, we ourselves will have a sufficiency for everything, that we can abound in good works. May we do so. May we do so, trusting in the favor and kindness of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God who directs us. Yea, Lord, even unbeknownst to ourselves, we came into the fields of favor by your grace. O Lord, we did not know where we were going. We had our own aims and purposes, but you brought us in to your kingdom. You opened our eyes and you fed us. You invited us to your table. Oh, Lord God, you've supped with us. You gave us the fullness. You gave us a redeemer. Oh, Lord God, who draws near, who takes notice of the unnoticeable, one who will show kindness, one who will feed us with more than we could ever need. Lord, one who is all sufficient. One, Lord God, who will bend and bow down, will humble himself out of heaven for the sake of our souls. And that, Lord, we ourselves can glean. Lord, we can glean and we know that even the very trappings of our Redeemer is more than all the blessings of the world. Yea, as the Syrophoenician knew, that the crumbs of Christ are better than all the full tables of this world. Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have been kind to us. We thank you that you are a God who shows favor, that you are a God who is willing to give the full recompense for those who themselves extend favor. Oh, Lord, not to purchase or buy a blessing, but, oh, God, that we ourselves might be faithful, even like you, merciful like you, gracious like you, knowing, oh, Lord God, that we can give and that you will never leave us needy of what we need. Father, thank you. Thank you, oh, God, for the fact that even like Ruth, we may anticipate the full recompense, not according to what is due to us, but according to what you have determined. Yea, blessings upon blessings that we cannot even imagine. You who does more than we can ask or think. We thank you, Father, for being our God. We thank you for granting us favor. In Jesus' name, amen.